This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they might dwell upon the earth. And as I always say, this program is important to all people. Every heritage that wants to preserve itself can certainly feel an affinity with what we here at DavidDuke.com believe. Every heritage, every race, every people has the right to defend itself, to be free, to not be controlled by others, and to have a society that reflects its own values. This is the real diversity that's valuable upon this planet. But it seems as though in the United States of America today that if white people defend our heritage, our culture, our traditions, even our basic human rights, we are described as everything from neo-Nazis to hate mongers to bigots. We are painted as violent. And that's not the case. It's, in fact, it's quite opposite of the real situation. And I have some proof about how the media distorts things in an interview that I did with Stephanie Chen of CNN. She called me and we had a discussion. And of course, CNN ran an article, both a video article and a print article, about so-called hate groups growing in the United States of America. The article, I must say, was extremely vicious, but you're going to have a chance to hear the actual interview with the correspondent from CNN, Stephanie Chen, and you'll have a chance to see how what I said, my issues were completely ignored, they were twisted, and none of the facts that I talked about were mentioned, and in fact, facts were twisted to make it seem as though there's an increase in a terrible victimization of minorities by white people across the United States of America. If you watch the broadcast and you read the article, that's exactly what you'd think. They showed some crazy white guy in the Northeast that, in fact, killed members of his family and then killed some minorities, and they said this is somehow the result of the fact he went to white racist websites. They showed a Mexican victim of white gang violence, even though they said these whites were not a member of any group in the United States of America. As you'll hear in the broadcast, I point out the statistics, the facts of crime in the United States of America. And the fact is that the government, in fact, in many states and on the federal level, has documented crimes as committed by race, so the perpetrators by race, and the victims by race. And they've even documented the fact that when you have multiple offenders or gang attacks, you will find that the percentage of whites attacked by blacks is 100 times greater than the percentage of blacks attacked by white groups or white gangs. I'm talking about 100 times, 10,000%, not 50% higher, 100% higher, 200% higher, 1,000% higher, 10,000% higher. There is, for every one minority victim of white gang violence, there are 100, in fact, in some cases more. One of the California studies showed 200 victims, white victims, of black or other minority violence in this country. You'll also hear the discussion where I very carefully point out that that what we say and what we believe in is not hatred. We simply want to preserve our rights and our heritage. We think we have a right to do that in the United States of America. That somehow didn't really come out in the broadcast at all. In fact, I'm identified in the broadcast as a neo-Nazi. Now, what makes me that? You know, I have a voting record from the House of Representatives in Louisiana. You know, I don't think anyone can say I had a, quote, Nazi voting record. You know, I don't go around today and talk about German National Socialism. I don't identify myself with that in any way whatsoever. In fact, I've made a lot of critical comments about National Socialism. I also don't believe in totalitarianism. I believe in a lot of individual liberty and freedom. Probably I tend more toward libertarianism in some of those areas of government rather than totalitarianism. But, you know, how can these organizations just flat out call you, quote, neo-Nazi? It's not because of what I say, and if people had a chance to hear what I said in the broadcast, it's obviously not a neo-Nazi position. But as a public figure, you can't sue, and if you do sue, you'll lose because the law is such that a public figure really can't sue on an issue such as that, and you'd end up having to pay the lawyer fees of the opposition. But again, I can let you hear the actual interview with Stephanie Chen, and you can hear for yourself how my points of view are distorted, how general points of view are distorted. You can really illustrate the bias of the CNN article by a direct quote from the article, which says, quote, "The most recent FBI statistics in 2007 saw a slight uptick in hate crimes to 7,624. Of course, the article and the Southern Poverty Law Center doesn't mention the fact that even in those statistics, blacks are twice as likely as white to commit hate crimes, and yet hate crimes are almost always presented as white crimes against non-white people. And as I said earlier, in terms of cross-racial crime, there's a tremendous variance. Blacks are many times more likely to attack whites, commit crimes against whites, than whites are against blacks. And in fact, gang violence, where you have gangs attacking an individual of either race, blacks are 100 times, and minorities are many times more likely to attack a white person than white groups of individuals are to attack a black person or a minority member. And that's how it goes. Also, I'll give you another example of how this article is so biased. Let's give one more quote. "Some hate groups, such as the, quote, National Socialist Movement, did not publicly condone violence or terrorist acts. Violence is absolutely counterproductive," said Duke, the former Louisiana legislator and neo-Nazi. Now, anybody reading that article would get the idea that I have an association with the National Socialist Movement. And it's just amazing how the media completely tries to corrupt the minds, really, of the readers and the listeners to these reports. You know, they can't stand what I say. What I say, and you'll hear it in the interview, is so clear and so positive, so they have to start linking me and perverting what I say by some sort of images that people have of Nazis killing people or murdering people or killing Jews or the Second World War and all the rest of it, rather than deal with the issues at hand. And this is the way they operate. So I hope you enjoy this. I think you're going to find that interesting. You can go to CNN and watch the video report. You can read the article by Stephanie Chen. And here is the actual taped conversation I had with Stephanie Chen. And you can see the difference between the conversation and the thoughts that I presented and the ideas I presented as compared to what appeared in the article itself. So here it is.
Hello, this is Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie, this is David Duke calling you. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. I'm calling you from Europe, actually. I'm teaching over here right now.
Thank you for calling me back. Do you have a few moments right now?
Yeah, we could talk.
Okay, what are you doing in Europe?
I've got a PhD in history. I teach international relations, and I guest lecture at a lot of universities.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like I always say, you know, a stranger in your own country, prophet in another. I'm well known here for my opposition to the Iraq War before it even happened. And I lecture a lot on American and Mideast relations and that type of thing. Also, sometimes in the United States. I was never a big fan of George Bush, and I feel like Obama is going to carry forth the same policies as George Bush, maybe even worse, because people have the appearance that he's something different, and that makes him more dangerous, I think, in pursuing war, for instance, with Iran, and he's already getting us deeper into Afghanistan, which I think is a no-win situation and a disaster for this country. So, anyway, those are just some of my preliminary thoughts there for you.
Oh, okay. Well, so tell me about... I'm interested in exploring, you know, the idea of hate crimes and how it seems like a lot of these groups, and I don't know if you're in charge of a group, but they're getting more membership since Obama.
Well, let's, you know, we can start, I guess we should talk about basics first, you know.
So let's just start, by what you represent, what group.
Well, first of all, I guess I hate to start off with a negative, what I'm not, but I'm not a white supremacist. I don't believe that any people should control other people or suppress other people. I believe in equal rights for everybody. I just say that should include white people. I noticed that for instance, black women of the same IQ, according to the National Longitudinal Survey of the Labor Department, which is a huge study done, black women of the same IQ, the high level IQ between 90 and 97 percentile, actually make twice that of non-black women, basically in income per year, believe it or not, an average in this country, which shows you that some of the so-called affirmative action has not really led to equality, but actually there's a discriminatory policy today, massive discriminatory policy against white people and also Asian Americans and others. And I think the best qualified should get the job. So I'm not a supremacist. I do believe, and I want to preserve my heritage, my way of life, just like the people of Tibet have that right, or the people of the Amazon Basin, or any other people on the planet. And I think that the current policies of immigration and other issues make that questionable for our people. So anyway, I'm just going to say that I'm not a white supremacist. Yeah. I guess if you had to call me something, I guess I was a white activist or a white civil rights activist, I guess, because I believe in civil rights in every capacity. And I think our government is destroying civil rights on many different levels for our people. I think freedom of speech is going by the wayside, and we're seeing less and less rights of the individual in the courts. We're seeing more and more abrogation of basic constitutional liberties. So anyway, I guess that's a start, you know, as to what I am. I was elected to the House of Representatives in Louisiana in 1989. I also served in the Republican Party from 1996 to 2000 as chairman of the largest Republican district in the state. We had more Republican registered in my district.
What district was that?
St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana.
Ah, I actually know where that is. I worked
it's
in
right north of New Orleans.
Yeah, I worked in St. John's Parish for a while. So you served in the Republican Party.
Well, actually, I was elected to the PEC, the Political Executive Committee of the parish, and then I was elected unanimously by all the other members of the Republican PEC, which are all individuals.
From 95 to 2000.
Yeah, to 2000. So, I mean, that just shows you a little bit, people that know me well and where I live and know about me.
And you grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's a different image than what you get in the media about me and what I stand for, you know, if you actually just listen. And I did get about 60% of the white vote for governor and for United States senator in my state, which is a landslide.
But you never served as governor or senator.
No, I didn't. I didn't make it. I got a landslide of the white voters, but I got almost no black votes. But neither did McCain. But anyway, so that's just some of my background and some of the But I'm very disturbed. I think about the Obama presidency, and I'm not. Don't get me wrong, though. I would be no less disturbed about McCain. I didn't support McCain, nor did I support Obama. And I said that both of them, you know, were certainly not, you know, good for the country. But in some ways, you know, looking at what's going on right now, I think that Obama is a much bigger danger. Because he has an image of being against the war and being reasonable and being very positive. So when he guides us into war, for instance, with Iran, which I think would be catastrophic, and I think we have a real danger of that. Benjamin Netanyahu is now head of Israel, very, very radical individual, along with Avigdor Lieberman, as you probably know about him. He's an ethnic cleanser, I mean, openly. I mean, the Israeli government, even if you start talking about the former Lipney and all the rest of them, they're so far right, if that's the word for it, it's just incredible. You know, it's like the last president was more like, you know, Patrick Buchanan.
Talk to me about, after the election, the backlash, and you had told the Southern Poverty Law Center that you'd be a visual aid for
increase. I didn't tell the Southern Poverty Law Center that, but they quoted me as saying that. But
how did they do that?
I don't know. They're not very responsible people. They're totally read by Jewish extremists who support the Jewish supremacist state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And they see, I guess, being against people like me as part of their overall strategy. Because really, I speak out about Israel as much as I do anything about the race issue. And Mark Potok is a very radical pro-Israel. He defended Israel, in fact, at a conference recently in California, which is amazing for an organization supposed to be against racism.
So let me ask you then, if that's incorrect.
I'm not saying it's incorrect. I'm just saying that I think he is a visual aid. I think he will make white people recognize the fact that the government is really no longer acting by, for, or in the interest of the European-American majority. And I think we do face massive discrimination called affirmative action. I think that we do face government policy which is intentionally leading to us becoming a minority in our own country, which I think will have dramatic impact.
You mean white becoming a minority?
Yeah, that's right. And that's a fact. I mean, it's government policy is doing that. The fact they're not enforcing immigration laws. The fact that their legal immigration laws are so skewed. Whites will become a minority. In fact, by the end of the century, probably a tiny minority in this country. And I think they'll have direct and powerful ramifications on society as a whole.
What kind of ramifications?
Well, can we look at the ramifications that have already been in our major cities in terms of crime, or the destruction of a lot of our schools in the United States, the loss of some parts of the Southwest that look more like Mexico than America? I mean, you know, we see these ramifications. Like, for instance, you want to talk about, you know, you started talking about hate crimes. You know, I'm absolutely anti-violence in every capacity, and mm-hmm. I've always been such. I've always preached that. And anybody who's a white person defends, you know, European American rights, I've always said that violence is not only wrong, but it's absolutely counterproductive. Mm-hmm. I've made that very clear from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about hate crimes for a second.
Okay.
There are many available studies that have been done, for instance, of gang crimes, for instance, that were violent crimes committed by multiple offenders. You know, more than one offender. And the fact is that gang violence across racial lines is 100 times more likely blacks are non-whites against whites than whites against blacks. That's just the reality. And that may sound shocking to you, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, and 100 times is, you know, it's obviously one time greater, or two times greater, is 100% greater. 10 times is 1,000%. 100 times is 10,000%. Well, you can look at the National Crime Statistics. I suggest you read the Color of Crime report, and there's many other factors you can do that.
And Patrick Buchanan just cited it.
The New Century Foundation. But these are all based on government facts and figures. I'll give you an example. You can go to my website to show you one of the shocking crime statistics. It's an amazingly shocking statistic. And let me pull it up for you so I can give you the exact data. And I got this directly from the United States Department of Justice, all right, and their crime compiling the data. Just a second. I'll get this for you. This is a shocking thing, and you probably never heard of it, don't know about it, and have no knowledge about it, but it's something which is quite amazing. Just let me get it a second. Let's see. I'm going to give you the exact figures for a recent year, and other years are very similar, but this is a typical year. Okay, let's see. All right, let me just pull it up on my site. I do a little search on my site. Here it is. Okay, let's see. All right, here's these figures have a little lag in time. We just turned 2009. These are from 2005 figures, and this is from Table 42 of Personal Crimes of Violence 2005. It's from the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Statistics. Okay,
Mm-hmm.
And these statistics are very interesting because I guess they're trying to stop hate crimes and show racial, the racial basis of the offender and the victims, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look under this table 42, Personal Crimes of Violence 2000.
Okay, is this at your website?
Do a search for black rapes or sexual assaults on whites.
Okay, hold on one second. Okay. I want the government. I mean, is it on the government website?
It's on the government website as well.
How do I get it on the government website?
Yeah, there's a link right there on the government website itself. Did you find the article? It's shocking proof. 37,460 reported
yep,
black.
Yep, I found the. Yeah.
All right, and in that article, you're going to see.
Oh, I see the link.
First paragraph. Let me click on that too, and see if I can pick it up with you.
I see the table now.
Okay, the table. Well, if you look at it, the diagram, I have the red line around the figures, and this shows you. I just lost my vote. Wait a second. Okay, this shows you on the left-hand side, salt white only and black only, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this shows you the race of the offender, okay, mm-hmm. on the right-hand side. And you see black, white, other, okay? That's mm-hmm. the rape of the offender, and of course, that's white is the perceived rape of the individuals,
right.
Okay? So... what you see there is the fact that of black-only rapes, all right,
mm-hmm.
What you have to extrapolate the numbers. You have to do a little math. But basically, the victims of from whites raping blacks, when you see black-only and you see white...
I'm trying to find this. What page is it on?
On my site?
No, I'm looking at the government. I clicked on that PDF.
I see that if I can find that for you. You have to get that particular, you have to get table 42.
Table 42? Okay, hold on one second. Okay.
I've got an exact copy of the table. You can look at my site and you can check all this out later.
Okay.
If you'd like to. And then
I see the table right now.
Okay, good. So what you see is the percent of single victimizations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it gives you a percentage of the whites assaulted by blacks,
mm-hmm.
and the percentage and the numbers, and the percentage of blacks assaulted by whites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And of the white percentage of what this is white. Basically white women. These are victims of rape or sexual assault, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The white women, done 33 of the total, 33.6% were committed by blacks, presumably black males.
Okay.
All right, which amounts to 37,460 assaults. Now,
right.
By the way,
right.
These are figures. These are not like projections or
stuff. Right.
This is done by the
right.
compilation of actual police departments.
Right.
And so
right.
forth. Okay. So we had 37,460 white women sexually attacked, raped, or assaulted by black males. Okay. Look at the percentage under white victims, black only, black attackers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what it says? It's zero. Because it's statistically so low, it's actually zero. It's like less than 10. Now, that is an amazing, amazing fact. 37,460 white women raped or sexually assaulted by black males. In effect, zero black women raped or sexually assaulted by white males. Now, you heard a lot about the Duke rape case. Remember?
Hello?
Hi, I don't know what happened to our connection there.
Okay, we were talking about the percentage.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So 37,460 white women raped by black males and zero, basically, black women raped by white males. Now,
mm-hmm.
isn't that a little shocking? 37,000, and that's 1 year.
Hello?
Yes.
It's a little difficult to hear you.
Am I breaking up in terms of the thing? Well, let me do one thing real quick. Let me pause a couple other... downloads that were going on. I know these are really shocking figures, and most people don't have any idea about this. You know, you can imagine the press if there were 36,000 mm-hmm. black women raped by white males every year, there'd be marches in the street. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's true that white men rape white women terribly. I mean, people close to one another. There's a lot. Most assaults and damages commit, you know, among families, friends, that type of thing. People mm-hmm. that they're around. But this is a shocking statistic, and it's indicative of the incredible distortion that we've had on the media on so-called mm-hmm. hate crimes. Now, I can also show you about gang rapes and any sort, not gang rapes, or any sort of gang-related assaults or multiple offender assaults.
Mm-hmm.
And in those figures, it's like 100-to-1 difference. And some statistical studies show a 200-to-1 difference. I mean, amazing. You know, it's almost never is a white gang attacking a black person, but it's quite often the black gangs attack white person, and there's reason to believe that there's racial motivation in a lot of these cases. But this mm-hmm. is completely unreported. And this is completely untalked. It's just not talked about in our society. Now, mm-hmm. you know, we heard in Gina, Louisiana, remember the thing with the noose and the whole thing about the school. And in fact, we still get a lot of stuff in this country about lynchings, which any decent person obviously would oppose.
Mm-hmm.
And in the whole history of the United States of America, and there's been many studies by this, by many people who studied this phenomenon. Mm-hmm. There's been 5,000 blacks lynched in the entire state. We're talking about 37,000 white women raped or sexually assaulted every year by black males. And yet mm-hmm. this is not even an issue. It's not even talked about. 37,000.
Right. It's a little difficult to hear you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
So do you think, if we can go back to what you said about him being a visual aid, I mean, do you think him being president will spark more people to kind of join groups? Or, you know, subscribe to newsletters?
I think we've seen a
and
doubling.
And not necessarily in a violent way.
Well, I don't think in a violent way. I don't think there's an increase in violence. But I think we've seen about a tripling of our numbers since last
about
fall.
About a what? I'm sorry?
Our numbers have tripled since last fall. Can you hear me?
Whose numbers triple?
Our website numbers and our
your website.
List. Yes, and so is Stormfront, I think, which is another very big one.
Okay, hold on 1 second. So you've seen your numbers triple for which website?
For DavidDuke.com.
Since you've been what?
Since last fall. Are you not getting a good signal? Can you not hear what I'm saying? I mean,
no, I can't. It keeps cutting out. I just...
Hello, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now I can hear you perfectly.
Let's hope we don't
Hello?
Have any more. Can you hear me again?
I just couldn't hear you before at all. It was just cutting.
Okay, very good. I'm so sorry. That's difficult.
And it's okay.
Difficult subject too.
Yeah, it was cutting out, and I couldn't really get much. But if we can just talk about, I mean, do you think you said your website has tripled?
It's tripled since before, right before the election, yeah.
And this is which site?
DavidDuke.com. And
okay, how many members do you get? I mean, how many unique visitors do you get?
A lot. We get around 30 to 40,000 right now every day.
Okay, and so it had tripled.
Yeah, we were getting a bit of...
So before you were only getting about 10 to 15,000?
That's right. And Stormfront is getting, you know, incredible numbers.
Yeah, I talked to him, Don Black over there.
Yeah, that's right.
So why do you think the numbers have increased so much?
I think it's because European Americans are beginning to realize that they have to stand up and be active for their heritage and their rights the same as any other group would do. That their needs and issues are not being listened to, and that we have a black radical president of the United States, even though he says that he's basically, you know, non-racial. The truth is he's got a long background of black racial issues, and he supports things like affirmative action and these other policies, for instance, the immigration policies of this country that I think will have a damaging impact on our people. So it's nothing personal. We just don't like his policies, and we absolutely are. Yeah, but let me say something else. We were also opposed to John McCain. If you look at my website, I said don't vote mm-hmm. for either of them.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that his new found his popularity in the world, and he's presented to the world as this brilliant and great and wonderful and kind and reasonable man, he's totally in the control of the Jewish extremists, the Israeli First crowd, AIPAC. His biggest contributor, by the way, in his campaign was Goldman Sachs. That's the huge international Jewish banking firm of Goldman Sachs. That doesn't sound like change I can believe in. It doesn't sound like any big change. His chief handler, the man responsible for his campaign more than any other, was David Axelrod, who was a hitman for the Jewish extremists in this country. He orchestrated the defeat of Senator Charles Percy in favor of Paul Simon in Illinois. Do you know who Charles Percy was?
No.
Charles Percy was a senator from Illinois who was head of the Foreign Relations Committee, who didn't give Israel 100%. He gave it only 99%. Mm-hmm. That's not enough for the Jewish extremists. They targeted Percy and defeated Percy, and Axelrod was the one behind that. The chief of staff of Obama now is Rahm Emanuel, who's named after an Israeli terrorist, and who actually served in the Israeli army. Now, doesn't that seem a little strange to someone to think that we have the chief of staff of the United States of America, who recently, in the early 90s actually, served in the army of a foreign nation? I mean, this guy is a radical extremist Israel firster. He's a Israel citizen, I think, and he's now chief of staff. And so what Obama, for instance, increased our troops in Afghanistan. What happened to the anti-war movement? You know, the anti-war movement supported Obama because he was supposed to be so different, but suddenly there's no opposition. Why? It's not because that there's so many people in favor of this move in Afghanistan. It's because of the fact that his popularity. I have an article from the Chicago Tribune, and it's called Obama, the First Jewish President, where Jews are bragging and boasting about the fact that they have, you know, orchestrated Obama's career from even before he was in law school, and that they're responsible. In fact, they said they consider him to be the first Jewish president, just like William Clinton was considered the first black president because he was so strong on those issues. And this is a very dangerous thing. I mean, we have Netanyahu now as president, and we have a very serious danger of going to war against Iran, which I think will have catastrophic consequences for America and for the world. Talk about unleashing terror and destroying the economy and the $300 a barrel oil and all the rest of it. It would be a disaster. So that's just some of the fundamental issues that I'm talking about and dealing with.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And if I need to call you back, is this the best number to reach you at?
Yep. Aren't you a little shocked by those figures? 37,460 white women assaulted by black males in America as compared
It is something that isn't typically put in the media.
Oh, but isn't it shocking? I mean, really? Imagine if those figures were reversed. What would be the response of the media? What would be the response? And they have the nerve to talk about hate crimes, and they talk about white people and how they treat blacks unfairly and discriminate against them and all this kind of thing. Well, what worse is there rather than being raped or sexually assaulted, an innocent person? And 37,000 white women who are victims of this, and it's absolutely not talked about in this country. It's a great crime, and it's a great human suffering that's going on that's not even talked about in America. Instead, they continue to put the Southern Poverty Law Center prattles on about hate crimes against blacks. And it's not just rapes. I mean, you can look at the murder category, assault, robbery, and many other things. You know, 37,000, you know, we talk about 5,000 people lynched in the entire history of America. But we have 37,000 white women, completely innocent, not charged with any crime, not accused of any crime, who've been sexually assaulted by black males, and there's not even a peep about it. There's no interest about it whatsoever. Also, I would suggest you read another article on my site about the affirmative action issue. You can just look down the page, and you can find the site where I have some charts there, and I have a lot of data there showing the fact that this, you know, affirmative action is a reality, and affirmative action is selecting less qualified blacks over better qualified whites in jobs and promotions and scholarships and all the rest of it. but you can actually see the evidence, federal government compiled evidence. You can see the evidence that it's affecting now millions of people. In this huge survey that was studied, when you take the qualifications by ability, you know, which with these people were given ability qualification exams and everything and IQ tests and all the rest when they started out. When you take the level of ability of black women and white women or black males and white males, you will see that blacks have much higher, this is after 15, 20 years of these programs, 30 years of these programs, much higher incomes and higher status in society. And which shows you, and this is a small thing, but you know, on the survey, amazingly, white women of the 90 to 97 percentile who tested in the highest.
Okay, I will take a look at that on your site.
It's very important because I mean, my God, you know, women talk about not getting paid what men get. You know, what's going on with this? White women are being discriminated against today. A massive level. What the study shows, and it's indicative of the whole country, is that white women of qualification, on average, are earning about half of what black women earn from the same higher qualification. Half of the income. Half of the income of black women.
I'm so sorry, but I have to run.
All right. Anyway.
But thank you so much for your time.
When are you going to go to press on this? Or go?
I'm not sure yet. Sometime this week. I'm just in the early stages.
Well, if you have some more questions, you can call me back.
Okay, thank you, David.
You're welcome. Bye. Now, I think any reasonable person who actually listened to the conversation I had with the reporter and actually read the report would think there's two different realities of life. Now, obviously, CNN did not make any effort whatsoever to portray and to offer my opinion. You know, what a news report is supposed to be is an effort to get at the facts of the matter, to get both sides of the question, and to find out what different people have. If, you know, one person advocates a certain thing, then another person says, refutes it. Well, obviously, they don't have any refutation of what the Southern Poverty Law Center said here or what their own lousy statistics say here. And if you noticed in the interview, which I thought was quite interesting, I made it clear about the fact that gang attacks were 100-1, minorities against whites, as compared to white attacks against minorities. Again, that didn't crop up. I made it very clear that 37,460 by United States government statistics, in fact, I gave her all those statistics exactly from the government. In fact, I made sure she saw them on the internet. Of course, that didn't get in there at all. See, 37,460 white women who are victims of black racial violence is not newsworthy, even though there are only 10 black women victims. You know, if we're going to start talking about how terrible white people are and how terrible we have increased hate crimes, I think rape is a hate crime. I think it's a horrible crime. It's one of the worst crimes that a human being can commit against another human being. And it's no wonder it was literally punished by the death penalty for many years in the United States of America. And I think it still should be in terms of what the horror of that crime. And but, you know, Stephanie Chin very quickly tried to change the subject. Even though she had all the facts right in front of her from the Justice Department, she quickly tried to change the subject, and she had to go. And, of course, she didn't want to hear any of this because, again, the whole purpose of the article was to attack individuals, people like myself, Don Black, and others, who stand up and tell the truth about racial crime in the United States and the real racism and the real racial hatred and the real number of hate crimes that are going on within the United States of America. I also showed, of course, the fact that Europeans are absolutely victims of racial discrimination. I pointed out that white women are basically who have high intelligence, who are shown to have high intelligence, have actually a income level per year that's almost one half. It's about one half of what black women do of high intelligence. Now, that fact comes out of a massive study commissioned by the United States Department of Labor, not some conservative organization or right-wing organization, to see how well affirmative action is doing and how well minorities are doing in our society. and they tested thousands of people. And here white women are making one half what black women are making, who have the same or are in the same intelligence grouping and the higher intelligence grouping. That's massive discrimination. And we're not talking about just that survey. That's indicative of the entire country. But Ms. Chin is not worried about discrimination against white women or not worried about discrimination against white men. She's not worried about anything except trying to portray white people and people like myself and Don Black as haters and possibly pro-violence. It was a very vicious, vicious piece. But thank God again for the internet and that you can see what's going on. I also pointed out that Mark Potok of this Southern Poverty Law Center, that he recently in Los Angeles actually made a speech where he defended the Jewish state and defended the Jewish state from all their massacre and mass murder of the Palestinians. I mean, it's just really amazing. Israel is a racist, segregated, apartheid state where Palestinians are segregated in schools, segregated in housing. Many, many Jewish settlements, Palestinians can't even set foot in those settlements. Israel even has a legal system that does not even allow a marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. Well, let me tell you something. If California or Mississippi or Alabama put a law out that a Christian couldn't marry a Jew or a white person couldn't marry a Jew or a black person, it would be, you know, God, it would be the biggest news story in the United States of America, and the condemnation would sing from every corner. But somehow Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center, this radical Jewish extremist, this Jewish supremacist, somehow he doesn't have any problem with the racism that exists in Israel, or that America sends billions of tax dollars to this racist Jewish supremacist state. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And so that should make someone quite aware of the fact that the real opposition of people like Mark Potok to people like myself and Don Black is not really based on the fact that they're worried about, you know, discrimination or hate crimes. The truth is they're worried about their own group advantage against us, and anything they can do to weaken us is something that they feel to be their advantage. And they're not worried about hate crimes against white people in this country. 37,000 white women who are raped by black men or are sexually abused by black men in America in a year, my God, they're not worried about that. That's not a problem. You know, we have more articles about lynchings, which they haven't had any lynchings in this country for years. And in the whole history of the United States of America, they had 5,000 lynchings, and perhaps half of those were blacks or other minorities. And in 1 year, we have 37,000 white women have suffered the terrible attack of rape. And yet that's not an issue. And that's in comparison to less than 10 black females. Now, people can rant and rail about what I'm saying here or try to refute it or say this is not true. It's all there. The facts are there. Go to davidduke.com. Look up the rape rate. You can just use a search. Get the article. I even have a picture. I even have a photo, a direct JPG of the Justice Department rape statistics by perpetrator and by victim, which shows, you know, zero victims of black females by white males in sexual assaults, and 36,000, you have to extrapolate, look at the percentage of black assaults against white women, 36,468 white women raped or sexually assaulted by black males. My God. You know, we're not going to be concerned about that, though. You know, we're going to be concerned about 7,000 hate crimes are not even really whites against blacks. And a lot of those crimes, they say, are crimes of discussion or intimidation or whatever. You know, if some black criminal gets in a fight with a white person or tries to rob him or hurt him, and the white person fights back and uses a improper word, the N-word or something like that, suddenly we have a hate crime, even though the black guy might have been committing a crime to begin with. I've seen cases where black gangs have attacked white people, and if a white person responds, then the white person is guilty of the so-called hate crime, while the gang, which inflicted terrible violence and damage against these people, are forgiven and are made out to be the victims rather than the perpetrators. So anyway, I hope all of you will take a look at this article, will listen to it, and all of you will begin to learn. And those of you who are new to davidduke.com, here's a great opportunity to see why that people have perceptions of myself and Don Black that are so different than the reality. Because obviously, once you listen to the tape, the conversation between myself and Stephanie Chin, you realize that, that I'm not what they portray in this article. And another thing you realize is just really how vicious and how lying and deceitful the media is in this country. It's just amazing to see what they do. It's just absolutely amazing to experience it day after day after day after day. No wonder we have Obama as President of the United States. And by the way, I had a lot to say as well, of course, about the Mideast and other issues and Obama and why we were opposed to Obama. Of course, none of that got in there as well. Anyway, enjoy the interview. I hope you find it very fascinating. We had a poor connection, but I think that you're going to learn a lot from this interview, which I broadcast for you today. Thanks so much, and I hope all of you continue to work and make efforts for our cause. We need your support right now. It's a very, very difficult fight. In the economic downturn, we have more people coming to our site than ever, but people are contributing less than ever because of the economic problems that we face. And I hope a lot of you will realize, those of you who can, will give us a contribution and give us some support that we need to continue this fight and to make this fight more effective for our principles and our ideas and truly the rights and the heritage of our people. Thanks so much. Bye-bye now. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukedavidduke.com.